welcome to the Motion Show. Hello, I'm Phil Hammond, and this is The Motion Show, where seemingly intelligent people indulge in pure old petty point scoring with the sole aim of winning the argument. So much the same as the Supreme Court. Let's meet tonight's comedy lawlords. Welcome back Hugh Dennis, who's been locked in since last week, and three first-timers, John Plowman, Jenny Eclair, and Nick Revel. Ladies and gentlemen, the speakers! Before we move on to the main debates, I'd like to ask our speakers, if you could propose any motion at all in the world, anything at all, what would it be? Hugh, what's been your dream this week?
Well, my dream this week is that BT introduced a new scheme called Foe and Family, whereby I nominate 10 people I don't like, and it costs them 20% more every time they call me.
John, in an ideal world, what would your dream motion be?
This house would like Hansard for people. See, what I like is, with your partner, if you had somebody who was there the whole time to take everything down, so that you could say, no, 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 you didn't say that. Can we go back on the record, please?
That's the group therapy over with. On with our first motion. This house loved going to school. Jenny Eclair, would you please hopscotch your way to the lectern and propose the motion? This house loved going to school.
I actually really enjoyed school because I'm one of those people that's quite easily institutionalised. I like institutions. That's why I occasionally work for the BBC. I like being either in school or hospital, and I'd be very good at prison as well. And I like school so much that I went to loads of them. Anyway, but there's all different kinds of schools, aren't there? Primary school was really, really good because you learn how to colour in and sit in a nice circle. And they do kiss chase. Kiss chase is fantastic. And also at primary school, there's a spare pair of pants in the teacher's drawer if you wet yourself. And you never knew what was going to happen next, what exciting things might happen. Like, you know, like if you're in assembly, someone would sometimes be sick. That was really good. And then a man would come through and put sawdust on the stick. Then you go to grammar school and you learn how to smoke and pretend to have period pains.
How do you pretend to have a period pain?
Do you want me to start pretending now?
Just a quick one.
I've got a period pain.
Right, fine, thanks for all of that.
All I can do is sit on radiators.
Thank you.
Anyway, then you go to drama school. Where you learn how to have personality problems and a long-term eating disorder. Then you had the motto as well. Do you remember school mottos? And ours, it was in Latin, but I can't remember what it was in Latin. But it translated as always willing, always ready. Hey. And you go on school trips. And it's really educational going to school, isn't it? Because you go to a place like... You go to a place like Hadrian's Wall and Wookiee Caves. I went to Wookiee Caves and I got claustrophobic in Wookiee Caves and I sort of got a bit catatonic and peculiar, and this geography master started slapping me and then he wouldn't stop slapping me and it all got a bit nasty. And of course now that I'm a mother, I think schools are really great and they're even quite, you know, I pay for mine to go to school. I do, because it's cheaper than, even knob schools are cheaper than having to employ some dozy Spanish girl.
Point of information. What exactly do they teach you in a knob school?
It's not, you see, when you send them to private schools, you hope that they get really friendly with really rich kids that have got houses in Tuscany. See, thinking, always thinking. And, you know, you send them to school, and because if not, they're at home, don't you? And then you have to employ someone to look after them. And that costs about £10 an hour. And you get some girl that comes around your house and nicks your lipsticks and your leather trousers and gives the old man herpes. You don't want that. No. I'm proposing that schools are a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny Eclair. Hugh Dennis, ex-public school, please take your hands out of your pockets, stop fiddling, come out of the corner, yeah, and reject the motion, this house loved going to school.
Ladies and gentlemen, the motion, this house loved going to school, discuss. This house what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, don't do it. Face the front. Good. No, ladies and gentlemen, I put it to you that this house did not love going to school. Did you hear a bell? Sir. You know that if you don't listen, Revel, you're only hurting yourself.
Sir, Jenny Eclair's dribbling, sir.
This house loved going to school. No. This house occasionally didn't mind going to school, I can accept. This house occasionally quite liked going to school, is also allowable. I quite liked it when it was double art with Miss McTavish and she stood in a see-through dress with her back to the window. I quite liked telling student teachers when they asked what Mr. Thomas usually did in this period that he took us en masse to the betting shop. Where we would put money on how long it would be before we managed to give him a nervous breakdown. But this house loved going to school. Loved going to school. No, that I will not have. This proposition is simply not acceptable. Shall I tell you why? Yes. Because the handwriting is so appalling. Look at it. The handwriting is so appalling, there is no point in scrawling it all down. I'm going to plough my way through it, but will an examiner? No, he won't. So what is there to love about school? You. No, you're silent now, aren't you? Well, let me offer you up a few candidates. Was maths lovable? 5 lessons a week stuck in a small room with a beardy, friendless, overgrown student who, despite his magnificent degree in comprehension of Fermat's last theorem, had never worked out the need for deodorant on a warm summer's day. Was PE lovable? Oh, it should have been. Oh, yes, it should have been. But where's the fun in having a medicine ball dropped on you by a sadistic Welsh war veteran? And constant pain from his artificial knee, whose bitterness at the level of his army pension and general misanthropy found expression in, indeed, the most acidic halitosis I have ever come across. And was art lovable? Oh, it may have seemed so at the start. All that mucking about with clay. The shaping, the turning, the glazing of that pot. Its intricate design, the weeks of thought that went into its conception, that may have seemed like a labour of love, a labour of love indeed, until the ultimate betrayal. Until the bloody thing blew up in the kiln. Just because it got an air bubble in it. This house loves school, it is ridiculous. I urge you to reject the motion, or join me in the dark room.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hugh Denny. If Section 28 is repealed, homosexuality may soon be promoted in state schools. In public schools, it will, of course, remain compulsory. Nick, did you enjoy your school days?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was great being the only boy in a school in the South Yorkshire coalfield with a southern middle-class accent.
How about you, John? Were they the best days of your life, school days? Can you remember that far back?
I can remember just that far back. Wackford Squeers was a boy. It was that I liked the things that you learnt, as it were, as you were learning other things. Do you know what I mean? I mean, the things you didn't learn in lessons. I mean, I learned...
yes, and what were they? Well,
it's been another riveting debate with both sides keenly matched. Time to put it all to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, this house loved going to school, say aye.
Aye!
All those against, say nay.
Nay!
All right, then.
A resounding success for Hugh Dennis. Our next motion is this house would like to go to the gym. Nick Revel, without a hint of irony, please put away your six-pack, flex your mental biceps and propose the motion. This house would like to go to the gym.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman, I am here to propose the motion that this house would go to the gym and, at the risk of sounding smug, self-satisfied, arrogant, or to put it another way, like Oasis, I feel that I can sway this house to agree with the motion simply by standing here and saying, if you go to the gym, you too could look like me. Yes, the audience laughing there, it sounds ridiculous, impossible even, but it's simply just a question of patient dedication and discipline. I didn't always look like this. Tall, willowy, with impossibly long legs, cascades of long blonde hair and magnificent gravity-defying breasts. I was once a dumpy size 14 until the day that changed my life. On my first trip to London as a young, impressionable girl of 15, dolled up to the nines in my best skin-tight shell suit and matching white stilettos. I was queuing up for Stringfellows, surely every girl's dream, and I was refused admission on the grounds the doorman said that I was a flabby porker. My friends laughed, and I wept all the way home on the night bus to Grimsby. But that night I also made a vow to myself that I would change my ways, shape up, and next time I would not only get into Stringfellows, I would be plucked from the queue and let in free on account of my dazzling pulchritude.
Point of information.
Yes, Mr. Dent.
What are you on?
I gave up my job and decided to join a gym. It was daunting at first, the strange machines, the pain, the sweat, contorting one's body into awkward and difficult positions, but a girl's got to pay for the membership somehow. In the end, it all paid off. With persistence and determination, I have made my body what it is today, a staggering, unparalleled ideal of modern womanhood. And with it, the modelling contracts came, the jobs on TV, pointing at washing machines and smiling. The sheer excitement of it all. And you can have it all too, simply by going to the gym. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Nick Level.
Jenny Eclair, please stand up for those who'd like to sit down a lot and oppose the motion this house would go to the gym.
Now, obviously, I would go to the gym if I wasn't physically perfect already. but I can't really see the point in spending $3,000 a year to get all hot and sweaty in a nylon leotard, because all that's going to give you in the end is thrush, isn't it? It is. Gym's really boring and really expensive and full of dull people. And if you want thin thighs, you can save on the subscription fee and spend it on liposuction. Ha, I'm clever. And, you know, there's if you are, like, say you are really, really fat, you can cheat, right? Say you're really, really fat and you end up in bed with a bloke, all you have to do is just turn the lights off and pretend there are two of you. Yes! Exercise, they say, makes your eyes shine. So does gin. You know, to be quite honest, girls and boys, if I want to work up a sweat, all I do is I drive with the handbrake on. Because that's exhausting, isn't it, girls? Driving with the handbrake on. Doesn't it bring you out in a sweat? And I have huge tantrums as well. I'm really bad-tempered. I have massive tantrums. And that burns off a few calories. And it's very dangerous for a woman of my age to do too much exercise, because all the strain goes straight to your face. All the strain straight to your face. And you look all right from behind. And then you turn around and you look like a lizard in a wig. And it's really bad for men to exercise because I think, because, you know, Sid Peart's in the Archers. Look what kind of nonsense he's got himself into. Mm. But it is bad for blokes to be exercised and fit because they're at the best, blokes, when they've collapsed in on themselves and they can't run away. Come back! Come, where are you going? Sorry. Ideally, we want our blokes flopped in front of the telly because, you know, once they start exercising, next thing, they're following you around the house wanting you to feel their muscles. I did once buy an exercise video and I twisted my neck getting the cellophane off it and I had to spend £600 going to the chiropractor. They do say, though, you don't have to go to the gym because one of the best all-round exercises for an alternative is housework. And I know this is true for a fact because my cleaner's really thin. Really, really funny joke. To be honest, the only time I ever do anything physical is when I lose the remote control for the telly. Oh. And I find these days smoking keeps my weight down, and thanks to yoga, I can get both legs wrapped around the back of my head. I just can't get them down anymore. I don't want to be one of those, you know, sporty, fit women. I sort of model myself more on Camille, you know. I want to lie breathless on the chaise longue, coughing discreetly into a hanky, being bought chocolates and champagne, and occasionally going, because I'm so brave. I don't know why I said that. I'm going to run out of steam a bit, but anyway, that's my anti-going-to-the-gym diatribe. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Jenny O'Connor.
David Beckham recently revealed he does an intensive workout each morning. He tries to work out what his name is. Hugh, do you have an angle on this?
Well, I used to go to a gym, but then I realised I was just on a treadmill.
And, I didn't bother. Actually, well, I did go to the gym for a bit, but I stopped and I realised that however fit I got, I would never be able to bench press the same number of pounds as my gym membership fee. So I stopped.
Don't you think gyms and training places have kind of replaced hairdressers as places where you hear the dullest conversations in the world, except that in the gym, they're really slow. So you get that whole thing of, have you been on your...
That's like some of the phone lines I phone up.
Holidays.
There is actually an amazing invention that you can get in most gyms, which actually predicts how much body fat you have. It's called Lycra. Do you wear anything really tight, figure-hugging?
You're talking to me or Nick?
Yeah. Both of you, together.
You've got a kind of funny little squint, haven't you?
Yes.
Look, the Hammond will leave that.
I think his eyes were boggling at the concept, my dear, of us both
squint?
In something
never,
tight
do I have
and clingy.
No.
Do I have a squint?
Not this side.
No, you see.
Yet again, it's a dazzling display of wit and rhetoric. And the only fair way to judge it is with a shouting match. All those in favour of the motion, this house would go to the gym, shout beefcake. Beefcake. All those against the motion, this house would go to the gym, shout chipolata.
Hooray for me.
And the most persuasive speaker is Jenny Eclair.
Not one. I didn't get one vote. Not even one vote.
All those in favour of giving Nick a vote, say aye.
What does that tell
Hardly
you about
resounding,
the election?
Was it, Nick?
Do you know, when I was at school, this is a school story, it's quite dull again, but I'm going to carry on.
No, we moved on to gyms.
No, please.
Very cool. We've moved on to gyms.
No, please.
Very it quickly. Was about one vote. I did a science test, and the bloke next to me, whose name I won't give you, but it was Mark Furness, he got naught out of 100 for his science test. And all I can remember is the teacher standing over him. One of the questions was about the life cycle of the frog. And Mr. Bacon stood over and he went, Furness, if you had just mentioned the word tadpole, I could have given you a mark. But you didn't. It's not, again, not funny, but...
No, it's very good. On with our next motion. This house would like a month of Sundays. Mr. Hugh Dennis, please come out of your potting shed, approach the lectern, and propose the motion. This house would like a month of Sundays.
Ladies and gentlemen, this house would like a month of Sundays. I propose the motion, but I go further. Not only would this house like a month of Sundays, this house should have a month of Sundays. This house deserves a month of Sundays. An impossible dream? I think not. Let us take first the nature of a Sunday, the day of rest, or in its more literal translation from the Hebrew, the day of not moving from the sofa except to get a beer until the beginning of heartbeat. I refer you to the book of Genesis in the section long, long before the departure of Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins. The bit which explains the story of creation. Roughly it runs as follows. Day one, God said, let there be light. Day two, made heaven. Day three, earth and vegetation. Day four, sun, moon and stars. Day five, fish, sea, birds. Well, actually, probably sea, fish, birds. Day six, cattle and man. Day seven, day off, bit of a rest. Now, this is a remarkable story, not least because God completed creation at cost, on time, and without using either day eight or nine, which he'd set aside for snagging, or anyone finding out about the other job he was doing in Alpha Centauri at the same time, tiling and grouting a power shower cubicle. Although, you have got to think that the human appendix wouldn't have made it into the final version if he'd given himself a little more time, and the halibut could have done with a bit of a redraw on compassionate grounds. But the point is this. God took Sunday as a day off, but how much work had he actually done? Day one, God said, let there be light. That's it. That's a 10-minute job at most. Day two, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered in one place. All he had to do was say it, and it happened. That's another 10-minute job. So by the end of day six, by my reckoning, God had done a total of 60 minutes work. Now, obviously, we are very grateful, and everything. The earth is a very nice place. The animals are lovely. Cats are a particular favourite of mine. Dogs would be better if they'd been designed so they couldn't lick their own... Anyway, we now have to recognise that the world has changed. We can't be lumbered with prehistoric working practices. You can't work for 60 minutes in a week and then take a day off, unless you are a student or an actor. Or a stand-up comic, indeed. Actually, that sounds like quite a heavy week. No, the average working week is now 40 hours, and for 40 hours we demand, we deserve, ladies and gentlemen, at least 31 days off. Yeah. A month of Sundays. But, ah, I hear you cry, a month of Sundays would be awful. But let me ask you this, what is the worst thing about Sundays? Pub opening hours? Country file? The Antiques Roadshow? No. The worst thing about Sundays is that from about 3 o'clock onwards, you're thinking about Monday. Actually, that's not as bad as the Antiques Roadshow, but anyway. With 31 Sundays on the trot, you'll never get that feeling. And what are the other advantages? For 31 days in a row, rail track would disrupt the service due to engineering work. And at the end of it, some of it might have been done. Think of the help you would be giving the rural economy. Because for 31 days in a row, a roasted dead animal of some sort would be on the table of most households in Britain. Do it for them. Do it for us. We might end up with a happy edition of The Archers. And even if that doesn't impress, do it for David Jason, because he needs to be on more. David Jason, Heartbeat, and the last of the summer wine. I urge you, ladies and gentlemen, support the motion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hugh Dennis. A month of Sundays would also give you 31 chances to line and read the papers. On the downside, you'd also get 31 copies of the Innovations catalogue. John Plowman, you look like a man who's never had a lion in his life. I call on you to oppose the motion. This House would like a month of Sundays.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, so you want a month of Sundays. OK. So let's just wander through the routine we're all going to have to go through. Not just one day, but every day of the week for a month. And instead of the nice lion I usually get to the soothing sounds of John Humphreys and Sue McGregor tearing the bejesus out of Gerry Adams or David Blunkett, or trying to be jokey with some smart ass who does the sport, my hangover will be assaulted by the sound of Sid Perks jumping in and out of the shower with a woman who, let's face it, by the end of that month will be scrubbed so raw she will never be able to get into those line-dancing chaps again. And just imagine, every morning struggling down to not only the heaviest, but the worst newspapers of the week. Acres and acres of forest cut down in order to tell me what some minor member of the cabinet has been doing with his minor member on a cabinet. And after a month of delivering these huge, great dollops of newsprint, imagine we'll have a race of incredibly muscle-bound paper boys and girls, aged 12 or 13, able to lift a car with one hand while squeezing their spots with the other. It would mean week after week of lunches cooked by my dear grandmother, a woman who has never really understood the concept that electricity doesn't run out. So that at Christmas, for example, she tries to save electricity by cooking the turkey from the inside out using the heat from the Christmas tree lights. She shoves the Christmas tree up the turkey and leaves it there for 2 or 3 days. Result? Two things. Meat, so tough you could use it to make handbags. Two, the bizarre Plowman family ritual of carving the parson's fairy. Shops like B&Q would be able to employ more and more of those people who appear to have been let out from Rampton, specially for the weekend. Having spent the week on a training course in which they've learnt 10 different ways to say, and, nah, we ain't got any of them. Whilst making it sound as if what they're really saying is, why don't you just sod off and leave me alone to play with my barcode gun? Ladies and gentlemen, I beg you to reject this motion.
Thank you very much, Mr. John Plowman. Yes, Sunday was intended as a day of rest, according to students of the Bible, and so was the rest of the week, according to students of everything else. I've noticed a distinct lack of religious conviction amongst all the speeches. Anyone here in favour of keeping Sunday special?
The bishop's son.
Yeah.
Your dad wears a dress.
Yeah, well, you know.
I think he had a word.
It was a bloody nice dress. And it fitted me.
You could wear it for 31 keeping days on the trot, then, couldn't you? Dip in the vestry?
You could. Well, he didn't have 31 cassocks. He had
He had about 30 purple shirts.
It's a bit greedy, isn't it?
Yeah, and there is a rule. There's a rule in a bishop's son's house or in a bishop's house that if your father has 30 purple shirts, that at some point, even in spite of today's low temperature washes, at some point your pants will be dyed pink. I actually don't wear white underwear anymore. I thought there was only one course of action, that was to move to coloured boxes as soon as possible.
I wear boxes with, they've still got to come. They're a jersey boxer with a Y front thing on the front, and then the Y front just says, "Beware the beast." I don't
know. It's time to take a vote. We'll use our sophisticated personal reaction audience test, or PRAT for short. All those in favour of the motion, this house would like a month of Sundays, say aye.
Aye.
All those against the motion, say nay.
Nay.
Just by a squeak, I have to give it to Hugh Dennis, but as John Plowman's here, I'll give him some points as well. Points for Hugh Dennis and John Plowman. But it's not over yet. It's time for those fun-sized debates where we prove that making things smaller can make them more exciting. That's my excuse. Anyway, speakers, you can give only one line for and against. Here's the first motion. Are you ready? This House believes that actions speak louder than words.
This House believes actions speak louder than words. Not on radio, they don't. Listen.
This House believes that pop music is rubbish.
Well, it's true, though, isn't it? I mean, you turn the radio on these days and it all sounds the same and you can't understand the words, but that's start the week for you, isn't it?
This House believes that pop music is rubbish, and to support this, the words from Jimmy Webb's MacArthur Park... Someone left a cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can bake it because it took so long to make it, and I'll never have that recipe again. Oh, no. Or,
yes?
I really, really want a zigger, zigger, ah.
And finally, this House believes that time flies when you're having fun.
This House believes that time flies when you're having fun, but the Virgin flies three times... A day from Heathrow to New York, and we'll drive you to the airport. It may not be funny, but it's lucrative.
You've got shares in there, have you, with Mr. Dyke?
Yeah. Can I just say, actually, there is a new Director General.
Right.
And
is he employed by the BBC? Because the last one wasn't, was he, for a while?
He's employed not only by the BBC, but by a lot of other companies as well.
Sadly, it's the end of the show, and I have to declare a winner who truly had the gift of the gob this week. It's Hugh Dennis! And thanks to our speakers for taking part and our studio audience for using their votes in such a fickle and flighty manner. Good night! The Motion Show was hosted by me, Dr. Phil Hammond, and I was joined by Hugh Dennis, Jenny Eclair, John Plowman and Nick Revel. The executive producer was Phil Dare, the program associate was Simon Blackwell, and the producer was Adam Bromley.